I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I'm joined by none other than TV personality Michael Griffiths. Welcome, Michael. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Vicky, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. All right, I just feel like even though predominantly people are going to absorb this as a podcast, some people will see it because we do have YouTube. Look at all your fancy shoes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to get rid of quite a lot of them because I don't wear a lot of them. This is my office, so I've got my shoes there, my piano there, and then just a big mirror at the back.
Yeah, well, you've got to have a very big mirror because you're a very big man.
Yeah, well... trying to trim down a little bit. Oh, okay. I've stopped all the bodybuilding stuff, so it's in a different direction. Yeah, it just takes over your life. It's very consuming.
Yeah, I can imagine. Years ago, I'm going back around 10 years now, I did a fitness DVD and I had to drop something like 3 stone over like 6 months to be like as lean as they wanted us to be for it. And it was the hardest thing I'd ever done at the time. Like, I especially consider how I'd been living my life beforehand. It was like balls deep in the Geordie Shore days. So I was like, always had a kebab in my hand, like lived off Blue WKD. It was a real like culture shock to us. But whenever, and one thing I had to do to make weight, I had to do that, you know, when you drink water and you start one day by drinking 1 liter and the next day by drinking 2 liters, then you do 3, then you do 4, then you do 5. And
water loading.
Yeah, is that what it's called? And I went all the way to like 10 liters of water in my body. And I remember just fucking lying on the sofa, like sloshing around like a hot water bottle. Like it felt like that was all was in us.
And
I understand how hard it is to make it your life. Not that I was on your level or anything, but that was my experience.
That's used to just flush your system and basically make you go to the bathroom more, just so your body gets used to weighing, and then when you bring your water back down, your body continues to weigh, so you lose a lot of water waste.
Yeah, that was what it was. I think that was the end goal, because I was just skin and bone by the end. I looked like I had a massive fucking head because like my body was so little. Like I think it wasn't natural for me, and like I don't know. Do you feel like when you have to bodybuild and stuff, that's not necessarily naturally where your body wants to be either? So it requires a lot of hard work.
It does require a lot of hard work. Like when I was bodybuilding from 2018 to 2 years ago. Like that was my first show was in 2018, but I've been in the gym for 9 years now. And a large portion of that has been bodybuilding. And when I started, I was like, maybe 76 kilo, and it took me a long time to get used to force feeding because I needed to put weight on because I needed to get bigger. Yeah. And it takes a lot out of you. Yeah. Like the eating side of stuff, it consumes your day because you'll get up. I started waking up early just to eat and then go back asleep for like another hour or two, then get up, have second breakfast, go to the gym. And it's just a whole day thing because I'm timing what time I'm eating. Making sure I get my food in.
I feel like this sounds like my dream life.
It's not. The most extreme side of it is when you have to get food in that you just don't have space for. Oh. Like, I've blended chicken and rice before with water. It's not my proudest moment, but I've done it, and I accept that I've done it. Was it disgusting? No, it was surprisingly nice. It tasted like a cup of soup, yeah. Oh. It just tasted like a cup of soup.
I don't know how I feel.
Or maybe I was just delirious.
Yeah. I feel like that's absolutely what you told yourself to get it in you. And like, hats off to you, mate. Like, that's some serious dedication, but there's just fucking no way. But then, right, so this is where I think a normal person like myself won't understand this, because to me, I'm a woman, obviously, and my whole life has pretty much been around not eat, like, you know, until I've sort of tried to get like a bit of a healthy balance about 5 years ago. It's all been about like not eating. You can't have that. You can't have this. Like, if someone said to me, oh God, we need you to get as big as you possibly can, I'd be over the moon. Like, I would be chinning like cakes and Greggs and McDonald's, but you can't just, you're not allowed to do that, are you? Like, the specific things you need to get in your body.
Yeah, you want to keep your food quite clean. So single food ingredients are the best way to go about it. And that's why it's so hard. Because when you're looking at proteins, for instance, they satiate you a lot more than carbohydrates. So you can eat more carbs than you can eat proteins. And that's where the difficulty comes in. So say, for instance, my protein target was 220. I'd get to like maybe 180 and I'd be like, I'm full. I don't want to eat no more today. But I've still got 40 grams of protein to get in.
Okay, so what were your tricks? What were your sneaky tricks? I've heard about you blending your chicken. I don't need to hear that again. It was gross.
It was gross. Just waking up early. Like, so say I went to bed at 11 p.m. I'd wake up at 3 a.m. and eat. And then I'd go back to sleep till 6. And then I'd eat again when I got up. Then I'd go to the gym.
Shit. Honestly, mate, there's such dedication involved in it. And I just don't think people actually realize that. Like, I certainly didn't. You know, the only other time I've heard about something like this is, do you know Taylor Lautner? You don't strike me as the type of person who's going to know Taylor Lautner, if I'm honest. Okay, so he played Jacob the Wolf in Twilight.
Okay.
Ask Chris, he'll tell you.
All right, so I'll ask him.
But yeah, so he obviously went from being like just quite a normal teenage kid, like in Twilight, to having to play this like really jacked, super fucking lush werewolf. And when that happens, apparently a human body gets really rich. And I remember reading that in order for him to have that body transformation, people were rushing on set in between takes and like giving him bowls of like chicken and sweet potato and stuff. And he was having to like scram them and then read his lines.
I mean, realistically, I would think that would soften you up a little bit, because obviously as you eat, your body starts to digest, so your stomach's gonna get full a little bit, so it's gonna press out, so you're not really gonna see the definition in your body. But I mean, if it worked for him, it worked for him. But I don't really think that would have worked, because before I stepped on stage, so I would eat my normal food,
yeah,
but about 2.5 hours before I was to step on stage, I wasn't eating anything. I was maybe getting like, I wasn't even drinking that much water. I was getting a cap full of water and swishing it around my mouth and spitting it out.
Ooh, for a little treat.
Yeah. Just to keep my mouth moist. And then with food, if I really needed to eat something, I'd get like a piece of chocolate, like a small piece of chocolate, and just put it in my mouth and just let it melt.
Oh, it is quite grim when you explain it like that. Okay, then, so what inspired this then, Michael? Because I remember watching you on telly and thinking, fuck, Melly's in absolute wicked nick. Like, why would you want to do anything more? Is it just one of those things, like, for me, this is my point of reference. When I first started using fake tan, I just used like a little bit, like a normal covering, and I was like a normal color, but then it wasn't enough. I needed to be browner, you know? And by the end, I was absolutely positively radioactive, and the only way you can describe me here was orange. But that's how it gets you. Like, was it one of those things where it's like, oh, being this ripped's not enough, I want to be more? Or was there something else that drove you into bodybuilding?
So it was something else. It was one of my mates. So I used to play basketball at quite a high level.
You've been really sporty throughout your life, haven't you?
Yeah, so I grew up playing football and then lost the love of that when I found basketball. And then I played basketball at a really high level. And then when I decided to stop playing basketball, I was maybe 22. I used to be 63 kilo when I was like 22.
Little Michael.
Yeah, 63 kilo, like wet. That was it. There's nothing to me. I just had an athletic figure. I was still lean, but I was skinny. And then I started going to the gym and found out that I quite enjoyed it. Had no thought about competing or anything like that. And then I trained with one of my mates who's a bodybuilder. And he basically convinced me, along with another guy who runs the federation that I competed in, to compete. And I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. Like, it just seems a bit sus to me that I've got to stand on stage in front of a bunch of people and pose. I was like, I can't do that. No. Anyway, about 6 months later, I was on stage.
I was convinced.
And the first time I stepped on stage, I actually loved it.
Yeah. It must be it such a high mind.
It is. Like, the feeling that I got from just being on stage, and I know that all the people weren't there to see me, but the turnout was ridiculous. And then when they called the winners, I didn't win that first show, I came second, but I just felt like this sense of achievement. And I was like, oh, I want to do it again. But when I got feedback from the judges, they said to me that I've got a good frame, I just need more muscle. So I need
a bit
to come
of a punch
back bigger.
In the dick.
Kind of like a double fist to the dick.
You took it on the chin, though.
Yeah, so they basically said you need to come back bigger. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to need some time to eat and train in order to get bigger. So from 2018 to 2022, all I did was eat and train.
Dreamy.
Yeah, I mean, I had to be careful with what I was eating because I couldn't put too much weight on. Because if I put too much weight on, then my diet starts sooner and I have to lose more weight. So I had to try and maximize gaining muscle but staying quite lean while I was doing it.
That's difficult. Yeah, I was just going to say that is a difficult line to sort of tread, because I could gain weight dead easy. Honestly, I could put loads of weight on so fast, but it would all be naughty weight. It wouldn't be like, you know, the good type that you're talking about. So yeah, I imagine that was really difficult. Did it mean you had to sacrifice a lot? Because whenever I'm being really strict with myself, I always feel like I'm not quite living life to the fullest. Like, did you cut out all your, what's your favorite thing that you weren't allowed?
Sticky toffee pudding.
Good lad.
Yeah. So when I first started, yes, like it really got to me that I was cutting out things like chocolate and sticky toffee pudding, and I couldn't go out for food. And I feel like as I got closer to 2022, I realized I could adapt how I was eating, so I could still see my friends, and I would eat before I went out. If we were going for food, then it's like one of those things, I'll meet you afterwards because I don't want to be sat there and not eat. So it's like, I'll meet you after the meal and we can do something afterwards. Not drinking was a thing in 2018, but it wasn't a thing in 2022. Like, I stopped drinking at the end of 2021, and I've not really drank since. I think since the end of 2021, I've probably drank a total of 6 times.
Okay, talk to me about this, because this is really interesting to me. Like, I've noticed a lot of people in the public eye are now turning to sobriety. Like, in particular, someone I follow, Dr. Alex, like, I just love his vibe. Yeah. He's such a nice man. And yeah, I think he's spoken at length about the benefits, you know, both from a medical point of view and just from, like, his experience of being sober. It's like, if you'd said it to me 10 years ago, it would be fucking no chance, Michael, that I could have gone sober at all. Like, even potentially 5 years ago. But now I might drink like a handful of times, like in a year, like maybe a bit more in the summer, because, you know, be a girl. My lifestyle has changed a lot. But the thought of cutting it out totally, I don't know. I don't think I could be that person. How have you found loads of benefits? Do you love it?
I mean, for me, it's just more like, the benefits of not drinking outweigh the drinking side of things. So, like, I like to train. So, like, if I want to train 6 times a week, I can't then go out on a Saturday or a Sunday because it's going to write me off for 3 days and I'm not going to feel the same. I feel like when I don't drink, I can still go out and have a good time and just drink water or drink a juice or a lemonade or whatever. And I still have just as good a night. But I also know when it's time to go home.
Yeah.
Whereas when I'm drinking, I'm like, oh, I just want to stay out. Yeah. Like, yeah, let's party after party, next party, this part. I'm like, no, yeah. Michael, go home.
And before you know it, you're in some fucking rando's kitchen at 4 a.m. talking about your childhood and politics and absolutely hating yourself.
I don't think I've ever been in that situation.
Oh, that's just me then.
Just you. But yeah, oh. I just. I, like my skin feels better. I feel healthier. Like I can, I'm an early riser, so I usually wake up around 6 a.m. anyway.
Yeah.
So I've got to take the dog out.
Your dog is so nice.
he's nice, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he is quite fluffy. But yeah, but I also go to bed early because I have this thing in my mind which I've had for a very long time now. It's like nothing good happens after 2 a.m. And I've kind of adapted it a little bit. And I'm like, because I don't really go out no more, I'm like, nothing really good happens after 10 p.m. So I'm like, I'm going to bed. Yeah. I'm going to bed at 10 p.m.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Michael, I'm just sitting listening and talking to you, right? And like, obviously, I don't know, many people will know this, right? But in lockdown, I started obviously my isolation care package project thing. Mm-hmm. And nobody had anything to do really, but it didn't stop people doing nothing, you know? And like, yeah. It's not me saying anything of like, everyone coped with a very difficult time differently. But for me, I couldn't sit idly by and do nothing. Like, I felt like I had to do something. And like, I wasn't changing the world or anything, but I was changing a little bit of it and it made us feel better. And you and Chris and Jordan were three of the only people who got in touch with me and came to help. And that became the barometer, people reaching out to help with my project, for how I viewed people in my industry. And since that moment, I've always thought you were such a nice man. Because I just think, like, you didn't have to do it. It was so kind. Like, you just got your head down and grafted, and it was lovely. So I've always known you're a nice man. But I think a lot of people will have preconceived notions about you that aren't correct. And mm-hmm. listening to your talk, yeah, like, you're such a even me, who, like, partly knows you, you're such a different guy to what I thought you were. Do you get that a lot?
Yeah. I've had that a lot for the past four or five years. But what you were talking about then in lockdown, like, I obviously seen that as a great cause. And from when I can remember, I've always wanted to help people. Hence the reason I became a firefighter.
Yeah.
Like, it was something I wanted to do from when I was 16. Get into the service, help people. And I've always been like that. I've always wanted to just help others in any way, shape or form. So when you was doing that, I was like, 100%, I'm going to go do it.
So
I've seen it as a good thing for other people. Obviously, people that couldn't leave the house, people that were struggling financially or struggling in other ways. I was like, well, if I can get up off my ass and go and help, then they might even not know that I was doing it, but I don't need them to know that I was doing it because I know I was doing it.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I do feel... It's one of those, isn't it? Everyone goes mad when people film themselves giving food to the homeless and doing all that stuff. And I get it. Like, we should want to do these things just purely out of the goodness of our heart. But, like, you know, if that goes on social media and it inspires somebody else to be good as well, I sort of think, you know, I can see the side of that as well. So, but yeah. I just wanted to let you know that I've always thought you were a very nice man. But even listening to you talk now, I'm like, you're so, like, much calmer and, like, more responsible than I thought you'd be.
That came with time and patience. Like, obviously,
I used to be an arsehole.
No, I've been young and stupid.
Yeah.
And I've learned from being young and stupid.
Yeah.
And I've also got brothers and sisters who would put me in the place.
But then I think I always say, like, you know, I would say you can't be old and wise if you've never been young and daft.
Exactly.
So yeah, this is
you've
just
gotta
you.
Go through Yeah, you've got to go through your stupid phase.
You've
got to learn by doing.
Yes. And sometimes, like, again, another little cliched thing that I like to say is the valleys will teach you something that the mountaintops never will. So you've got to make mistakes and have these low moments and have these bits where you're like, fucking hell, that probably wasn't my finest hour, in order to like grow and learn and reach your mountaintops. Mm-hmm. It does feel like you're reaching some canny good mountaintops, you know.
Well, I'm trying to. trying to just be the best person that I can be. Trying to make my mum and dad proud.
Oh, no, I'm sure you are. I definitely think you are. You mentioned just then that you are a firefighter. Mm-hmm. And I remember when you first came on telly and I was like, oh, fucking hell. Like, you are an absolute knicker dropper, mate. Like, lush firefighter, Scouse accent. I thought he's going to fucking absolutely smash it. What inspired you to become a firefighter? Was it a bit, obviously you've mentioned you wanted to help people, but was it a little bit like, you know, you're in your fitness, you are strong, like, was it that? Or is it just like a sense of pride within the community?
No, my eldest brother's a firefighter as well.
Is he? Oh, so it's
he's still a firefighter, yeah.
Okay.
But it was more of, so this might get me in a bit of trouble. When I was younger,
brilliant.
I used to be a bit of a firebug. Like, I loved fire.
I was so... not expecting that.
Yeah.
I was an arsonist.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I never lit no houses on fire, but I used to do controlled burns. And when I say controlled, I mean in like fields where I knew that it couldn't blow onto anything else.
Okay. Also, but, like, you're a responsible firebug.
Yeah, because I used to like to see how fire reacted.
Okay.
So people used to fly tip a lot. So I used to just take the stuff to the nearest field and just pile it up. Bonfire night was one of my favorite nights because I used to just be able, I was allowed to make a fire.
Yeah, I can see why that would appeal to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I used to just make all these fires and the fire service would come out and I would get shouts that a lot. And my brother would have a talking to me a lot as well because he'd be like, you can't just be lighting fires. And I'm like, but they look so nice. Like, when I build them up and I do it, they look so nice. He's like, but how are you putting it out? I'm like, I'm letting it burn out. And then I'll just get rid of all of the embers. And he's like, you can't do that. He's like, you just can't do that. I was like, what if I do it in the kind of back area of the house? He's like, no, you can't do it in my mum's back garden. But I did. I used to dig a hole and then put the stuff in the hole and then burn it. And
how do you feel?
Let's
about
just
fire?
Say my dad wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Can I ask how you feel about fire now?
I treat fire with a lot more respect now that I've learned a lot more about it because we did a lot of fire science and fire engineering in the service. So again, in the service, they did control burns, but they were a lot more controlled than mine. Like, they would do them in containers, so we would be looking for things that would show you signs that something was about to go on fire.
Yeah.
And what's it called? Pyrolysis? Yeah. Pyrolysis, something like that. That's what it's called. But you can see when different things are about to light.
Yeah.
And just that's what interested me about fire. So I was like, join the fire service, I can learn all about it and I'll be around fire all day.
And also just not be a criminal.
I mean, I only ever got in trouble with the police once.
So
but it wasn't about like it wasn't criminal. It wasn't about lighting fires.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't about lighting fires.
Well, your track record is considerably better than mine, sir, so there's absolutely no judgment here.
I mean, I think I was 16 and I was playing hide and seek with my cousins, but we were playing hide and seek somewhere where we shouldn't have been playing hide and seek.
Yeah, okay.
And it
Fair
was
enough.
Opposite a police station.
Honestly, the silly things we do when we're younger. I've actually been arrested in Liverpool.
That's
a story for another time.
Yeah.
So then, of course, you got into the fire service, mostly inspired by your healthy appreciation, we'll say, for fire.
Yeah.
And your brother. And I feel like it must be a very, very tough profession. Obviously, it's so glamorized on the telly and stuff. Like, everybody's lush, they're sliding down the pole. Like, you know, there's that sexual chemistry between everybody going on. But it's not like that in real life, is it?
No. I mean, so I tried to get into the fire service 3 times before I actually got in. Yeah, so the fire service is actually quite difficult to get in. Like, you've got your fitness test, your maths and English test, dexterity test, confined space. All you got to do all these tests, and then basically get to an interview, and they might still say no. Really? And that's what happened to me 3 times. They said I didn't have enough life experience, so I went to uni. And now I didn't actually want to go to uni. I'd always said I'm never going to uni. But I went to uni and I thought, I'm going to try and learn about something that I'm interested in. So
Did you do a degree in fire?
No, I did a degree in biomedical sciences, actually.
What the fuck? Michael, honestly, you are such an enigma. Like, there's so many layers to you. I absolutely love this. You're dead interested. Please continue.
Yeah, so I did biomedical sciences because I enjoy science and I like learning about the human body. So my final year project was identifying mutations using cystic fibrosis. So it was more about mapping the human genome and finding mutations. So when I was coming up to graduation, I applied again. And instead of saying graduating, I put graduated. Because my graduation was coming up.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, I knew I was graduating, so I just put graduated. And did the interview and literally got in. I got an email the day before graduation. The day before graduation, I got an email saying that I've been accepted into the fire service. And honestly, I got home and I said to my mom, I was like, I'm not even going to graduation. And she was like, no, you're going. I was like, but why? There's no point. She was like, I was like, go in there to pick up a piece of paper. I was like, I don't need it. They can just post it to me. Anyway, I went to graduation, me and my brother. But no, to answer your question, the fire service is not all glamorized like it is on TV. Yes, we do have a pole in some stations.
Did you have a pole?
But 9 times out of 10, it's quicker to use the stairs.
Is it? I heard there's quite a few injuries like around the pole hole. Like, you can fall through that if you're not careful. Is that true?
Yeah. No, because there's a set of doors that cover the pole, and you have to hit it quite hard in order to open the door. So it's kind of got like a safety latch on it. So you have to hit it so the latch opens.
Okay.
The pole is fun. But we tested it. Me and another firefighter started at the same place and then raced to get to the appliance. And we got there at the same time. So it was like, what was the point?
Oh, so that's a myth then, is it? The old fireman's pole.
Yeah, you just do it for fun. Like, it's a nice drop.
Yeah, I bet it's a bit of an adrenaline rush, though.
It's one story, so it's like jumping from this window downstairs. It's not that far.
Okay, really?
Unless you're on a higher station, which none of them really are. They're more like 2 stories. But it's a lot of fun, and you go through a lot of vigorous training in order to do it.
It's pissing on me cornflakes a little bit over my fireman fantasies here.
I mean, we still do save people. Well, I say we as in I used to.
I really want to talk to you more about the fire service and all the amazing things you're doing now, but that is the end of part one. So I'll have to do it in part two.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.